better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
If you want to get on the conversation, call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Let's go ahead and have Maddie T give you your Morning Rush update.
Here's your Morning Rush update. The Razorback football team is currently sitting at 7.5 point dogs to Mississippi State this Saturday.
7.5.
Oh, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah. Still same thing as far as decimals, but yes. We get you. We get you.
If the Hogs lose tomorrow, it will be the third straight season that they have lost every SEC home game on the schedule.
Excellent. That sounds like a great stat.
This is more exciting stuff, though. Razorback soccer officially won the SEC regular season title last night with a win over Tennessee 3-1. It's the first SEC title in program history, and they are currently ranked sixth in the country, the University of Arkansas in soccer. I love this game. And finally, the NBA has banned both Joel Embiid and Carl Anthony Towns for 2 games after their physical altercation in a game a few nights ago. But the NBA is apparently totally fine with Ben Simmons putting Carl Anthony Towns in a chokehold on the floor because he was, quote, being a peacemaker. Nothing says peace like a good old-fashioned chokehold. Be sure to head to hitthatline.com for all the fantastic Morning Rush content and great Razorback coverage with articles, videos, podcasts, and more. Only available at hitthatline.com.
There you go. Appreciate it, Matty T. And also, that whole Ben Simmons thing. Tommy, I mean, if I see somebody putting in a chokehold, is that peacemaker?
Depends on what the first guy's doing. That might be... You need context on this.
Well, he was like, Carl Anthony Towns was on the floor, like his stomach was on the floor on the court, and Ben Simmons was on top of him with and a chokehold.
A peacemaker like a pistol is a peacemaker.
Yeah, right. I'd say maybe that's more
dirty,
of what they
hairy,
were looking at.
You know.
But they didn't suspend him or anything, and people asked the NBA, like, oh, what, you didn't suspend him? Did you not see what he was doing? And they said, oh, no, he was playing peacemaker. It's like, oh, yeah, chokeholds. Chokehold's a big peacemaker move. So, anyways, I thought that was definitely an interesting story for sure. But appreciate the Morning Rush update there, Maddie T. We're going to be joined by Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated, the publisher of Hogs Illustrated here in just about a half an hour. And looking forward to catching up with him. And, of course, we'll get into our Fence Man Friday picks. Is Tyler Wilson joining us this morning?
I'll check on that.
Okay, yeah, we'll have to double check.
Should have checked
that.
On that yesterday.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, we're on Tyler's time. So, you know.
Living on Tyler's
time. That's right. So if he comes on, he will. If he comes on, it'll be at 8 o'clock this morning. So we just need to get his thoughts and opinions on heading into this game as well. But, you know, something that we had discussed a little bit yesterday and looking at this game between Arkansas and Mississippi State and Joe Moorhead versus Chad Morris, both coaches feeling a lot of pressure of the seasons and of the programs. Is this just with what these two coaches are in, a specific situation to these two respective schools? Because it's crazy to think about a coach only getting 2 years. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
But as I mentioned before, I understand why Chad Morris may only get 2 years. You know, you can say you agree with it, disagree with whatever. I understand it. It's because of the fact that in heading into the second season, you've seen no improvement. The team hasn't really gotten better. You've had some bad losses, some really bad moments. You lost to San Jose State. You can't figure out your quarterback situation. You've had some decommitments. It's just all the things are piling up, and it doesn't look like there's any direction in the program right now. That's what it looks like. But then with Joe Moorhead on the other side, he wins 8 games last year, which people thought was really disappointing, which is crazy because of the amount of starters that they had returning from the previous season. Now they're sitting at 3-5. They only have one conference victory. They still have Alabama left on the schedule, but you know they could still be in bowl contention if their only loss is at Alabama the rest of the way. But is just coaches having 2 seasons, though? Is this just a specific thing for this year and these two teams? Or is this something that we're going to have to start, or we're going to have to get start getting used to seeing more often in the SEC?
I think it's new low, a new low in the SEC. I don't know. It's certainly something we've not seen before. I think it's been 60 years since Mississippi State fired a coach after 2 seasons. I was reading that this week. Arkansas let go of a coach after two seasons and one game with Jack Crow almost 30 years ago. So, you know, it's happened here sort of in modern history. It's not what's going on is the reason you fire the coach. It's the reason you get rid of a coach and you go in a different direction is because you have no reasonable sense or of direction you're going in. Yeah, you can look at San Jose State, North Texas, and, you know, what happens in the Western Kentucky game. And, you know, you can go down a list of some of these non-Power 5 losses they've had and say, well, here's the reason you're firing the coach. But that's not really the reason you're doing it. You're making a move because you think the expense of keeping them moving forward is too great. That's really the reason you're making a change. Because you don't believe that the direction of the program is heading somewhere where it's going to improve, and that honestly, season ticket holders are going to stay engaged with you, and that's the expense of that you got to weigh out. How many ticket holders are we going to lose? How many people are not going to renew? Because it's too expensive these days to have season tickets. And if you're not putting a good product on the field, people will bail, and I can't blame them.
No,
and that's the real. You know, that's the real question that has to be answered.
So can there be a pendulum swing then? Can there be to where if these programs and these schools are looking at it, for instance, the season ticket deal, can they look at it from as far as just as simple as lowering ticket prices to try to get, because I know you still got bills to pay.
Sounds good, yeah.
But, you know, there's been other, as much as you'd love to just bring in the money and who knows how this thing is going to play out with as far as, you know, the starting paying the players. I'm not saying that that's like going to happen in the next 2 years, but you know,
they're not paying the players.
Right.
One.
But I'm saying though, in the next 5-10 years though, you never know. It could turn into that where they start paying the players. So we don't really know what college football is going to hold here in the next 10 years. And so I'm wondering, is it more just about making the change at the coach to try to get some sort of winning program in here, which of course everyone wants. That's what everyone wants. And nobody is disagreeing with that. But if you're struggling to get to that point, do schools need to start thinking of other ways and other avenues to try to get people into the stands?
Winning. I mean,
I understand
Alabama
that, but not everybody
have a problem selling tickets. LSU selling tickets.
But not everybody can win. Well, and not every year everybody's going to win.
That's the reality. Half the teams lose every Saturday.
Yeah.
You know?
And so,
but the problem here is you're losing the games you expect to win. Even with teams that don't have high expectations, no one expected to lose to San Jose State. No one last year expected to lose to North Texas in embarrassing fashion. That's the issue here, is losing the games you're not supposed to lose and the lack of hope about the future direction of the program.
Mm-hmm. So do you think this year is a different vibe right now if they would have beaten San Jose State the way they were supposed
Absolutely.
To? Absolutely. Do you think Chad Morris would still be on the hot seat at all?
Absolutely.
Okay. So what would be different then?
Well, you'd A, have one more win than you did a year ago, and B, you just wouldn't have the embarrassment of, I mean, really, you'd have won the games you're supposed to win. You'd have beaten Colorado State. You'd have beaten San Jose State. We all knew Ole Miss was kind of a toss-up and was going to set the course for a season, but no one said Ole Miss is a must-win game. No one said that going in.
No.
Kentucky was one of those toss-up, not even really a 50-50 game going into it. Now, the part that's hard to stomach and hard to swallow is you got beat by a wide receiver playing quarterback. Now, he's beaten some other teams, too. So, you know, Lynn Bowden's a pretty good football player. Whether we like to admit it or not, whether we like to, you know, brush over the fact that a wide receiver lining up a quarterback beat you, that he's beaten some other teams that probably are dealing with the same thing. No one expects you to beat Alabama, Auburn, LSU coming up. Those were all toss-up games. And going into the year, we thought Mississippi State's been the biggest disappointment in the SEC this year, right? Based on preseason expectations?
Yeah, I'd have to say so. I don't know who else would be.
A&M was not a game. No one really. I mean,
maybe A&M might be more disappointing, but yeah.
No, I mean, I think Mississippi State had higher expectations than. I mean, they performed in relation to preseason expectations. I don't think anyone's performed more poorly.
They were picked fifth in the SEC. Before preseason
and they're
starts,
playing so. This weekend to stay out of the cellar.
Correct.
So my opinion is they probably disappointed their fan base more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if you beat San Jose State, you really have kind of done what you're supposed to do at this point. We all talked about winning five, maybe six this year. To this point, you would be right on track to win five, maybe six. You'd have three if you'd beaten San Jose State. Western Kentucky would be four. And then you're hoping to maybe steal one if you'd gotten Mississippi State or maybe Missouri and get that fifth or possibly sixth win.
Mm-hmm.
You were hoping Ole Miss might go your way to be one of those sixth wins. Or Kentucky. But really, San Jose State is the game that's sticking in everyone's crawl right now. Or it is with me.
Yeah.
And I think when I talk to a lot of people, that's the game that it's hard to get over.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I do. But also, I think an element into it is not only on top of the San Jose State game, but there is just this, like, this team game in and game out does not look like a well-coached team.
Well, here's the thing.
They don't.
Do they look better? Do they look like a program that's taken a step forward in year two versus year one?
No.
And that's the difficulty.
Right. They don't look like they've taken the next step. There's no consistency. Again, we could, you know, bring up all the different elements that's probably going wrong with this team. But my problem is that even if they had beaten San Jose State, which I agree with you, it would be different right now. It may not be much different, but it'd still be different. It's still, when I'm watching this team, though, there's nothing I'm seeing that says, all right, next year will be different because you're going to have some more pieces here. You're going to have some guys that's got one more year under their belt, one more offseason to get better. There's just nothing I'm going to be able to point to and say, okay, this year may be a struggle, but next year it's going to get better. Yeah. I just haven't seen anything like that. Yeah. I know the wins and losses is ultimately what decides the fate of a coach and decides if they're going to stick around or if they leave. I get that. But even just looking and watching this team play, it does not. It just doesn't look like a good, a well-coached, well-prepared football team game in and game out. And so I think that's another thing that frustrates fans too, is because if you were getting closer, if you were playing well, if you weren't making the dumb and embarrassing mistakes in the game, you know, even the Alabama game, you lost by about the score that everyone thought it. But I mean, did anyone expect you to look that bad? I don't know. So it's just about how you look.
Yeah. Clay says to throw Missouri in the most disappointing performance category.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't disagree with that, particularly when you lose to Wyoming week one.
Vanderbilt and Kentucky, yeah.
You know, but they kind of gotten it on track and then came off the rails. But I'm just talking about in relation to what you expected preseason, four or five wins. It was somewhere between four and six for most fans here, right?
That's right.
So if you beat San Jose State, you're kind of right on track. And honestly, Arkansas could still kind of get in the realm of expectations this year. You win three of four, I think that the sentiment's going to be a lot different going into the offseason. I think it's really important you win the Missouri game this year because it's going to be your last memory. It's going to be the last vision, the last thing you're thinking about. It's going to be big for recruiting. There's a whole lot at stake in that Missouri game. Whole lot at stake.
But do you have any confidence that they'll win any of these games?
No. I'm just saying that's a huge game for Chad Morris, for this program, for the decisions that have to be made. That's a big, big game that for a lot of reasons. Not for bowl or any of that. I'm just talking about it's the last thing we'll see. It's the lasting impression. If you look good, you play well, you win that game, and you look like you know what you're doing, that's you can live on that a little while. In the offseason.
Yeah, you can, but he's got to get to that point, too, because if he loses the next two games against Mississippi State and Western Kentucky, my goodness, I don't even know if it'll last till the end of the season.
Yeah. Hey, is your home in Arkansas at least 10 years old and on the OG&E customer network? If you're an OG&E customer, you need to call right now about the free home weatherization program. A trained crew will come to your house, perform an energy audit at no cost to you. Now, they'll come back if your home qualifies, put in attic insulation, LED light bulbs, weather stripping, advanced power strips, smoke alarms, carbon monoxide detectors, and a whole lot more. And this program is absolutely free to qualifying homes. Call OG&E today about this free home weatherization program, 1-800-272-9741. That's 1-800-272-9741 for OG&E's free home weatherization program.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline and welcome in Miss Lisa from Northeast Arkansas. What's going on, Lisa?
Well, it's awful cold, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it is a little bit nippy, that's right.
Yeah, I'm nippy, and I've not nipped this morning, but if we lose tomorrow, I might start in. But let me ask y'all something, and I think this is what your middle-class country Razorback loving fan that's got it in our blood. Here's what we're thinking. We get up and go to work, and if we performed at 20% of 100% what the, and yeah, I'm saying 100%. That's what I expect every year. Until we lose, I think we're going to win. But anyway, what would happen to y'all if y'all did that at work? If you performed at 20% of what they expect you to do.
We'd be ahead of where we're at now.
Okay. Well, at least you're honest.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm done. I mean, I'm not done with the Razorbacks. I'm still a Razorback fan, but, you know, when is enough enough? I don't know why Hunter Yurcich hadn't come out and said something. I got an email from him yesterday. I texted him or emailed him about, oh, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And he finally, now, Scott Verity, I've been back and forth with him every day. And Hunter Yurcich, I'm just going to share it. He didn't tell me not to. But he just basically said, you know, thank you for your interest, my interest. I've been doing this ever since my bottom end's been on the planet. But anyway, he said, thank you for your interest in our student athletes. Well, right now, I'm not too interested in some student athletes and coaches. But anyway, that's what he said. And, you know, we continue to strive for the best. Now, I know that's AD talk, but I'm not smart, but I'm smart enough to know.
You're pretty savvy.
This just isn't acceptable. Would you say I'm sorry?
I said you're pretty savvy, so.
Well, I don't know about that. But, I mean, doesn't he understand that we feel like we do not have a voice? The Razorback fans do not have a voice. Maybe, you know.
Oh,
and I'm not going tomorrow. I gave mine away.
There's your voice, Lisa. I think the collective voice is being heard loud and clear through deafening silence. And what I mean by silence is those empty seats.
Well, I gave my tickets away. I wanted to throw them away, but I can't do that. I'm still got too much Razorback in me. But I gave them to someone that had never been to a game. And now they're going to try to make it. So if they don't make it, I've already told them, no moss. Don't send me anything football related, or I'll send it back if it costs me twice as much to get it back to them. I said, don't send me anything related to football until you get rid of this screwball. And then, you know, they got on to me, don't call him a screwball. Well, I live in Light, Arkansas. Here we call people screwballs when they mess up like he has. Well, have you noticed on the sideline, I'm getting off here, I know everybody's already turned the radio off. But have you noticed on the sidelines, I mean, he hasn't a clue, bless his heart. And I feel sorry for him in a way. And we're not going to, if they don't hurry up and do something about it, the only people that's going to, I don't even know who will be going. And we got a beautiful stadium. I mean, I'm just sick over it. Y'all can think what you want to about me, but I'll probably be in counseling over this before it's over. But anyway, I'm going to let you go. I love your show. I share it. I tell people about it. And there's been a lot of people. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just saying you got a lot of listeners here in Northeast Arkansas. A lot of listeners.
Thank you for being a cheerleader of ours.
Yes.
Well, listen, y'all have a good weekend and go Hogs. I'll be home watching it. I think my TV's a 55-inch. Do we need to start a fund for Christmas to get you a new TV?
Oh, I got a new TV. I just need a new one in the living room.
Just catch her gone. Listen, catch her gone. Go to Sam's. Buy one of them pretty and put the bit, and she'll be happy. Yeah. I had that too for a long time, but get her one.
Yeah, just convince
her.
Well,
let me predict my attendance. They will announce, I'm going to say, 56,421. In all reality, with butts in the seats, I predict around 30,000. I do. That's what I predict.
I don't know. Have a hard problem arguing it.
It's homecoming. It's middle
Who
of the
cares?
It well.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am. It's like, does it really matter anymore as far as homecoming?
No, no, well, homecoming does not matter.
There's a lot of on-campus activities. Aren't there a lot of you? I mean, you knew you were there 8 years.
Yeah.
Aren't there a lot of fraternity and sorority events where parents come up and a lot of on-campus activities that will draw in thousands of people?
Yeah, they just
come to the stadium. No, 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 it will not, because by the afternoon people are drunk and no, they don't want to go to a football game and watch somebody hadn't won an SEC game in 3 years. So that's, don't try to sell me that.
Yeah, Tommy.
I'm just saying homecoming brings people to campus that
No, it does not, Tommy.
All right. You're right, I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for saying that. How many do you think will be there tomorrow?
Well, 40-something.
John?
Yeah, I would say about, 30,000.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Lisa, and as always.
28.5. I'm going to go 28.5.
Whatever you say, Lisa, I'm going to agree with. Yeah, I don't want you coming up at me saying that you were going to be riding up and standing in the offices of the administration up there. I don't want you coming up here. My goodness.
Standing in the office of the radio station. We will make you wait 6 hours, though.
Yeah, yeah, for real. Good grief. All right, let's try to squeeze in one more quick phone call here. Danny is in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. When Paula Deen says, bless your heart, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you, man. I get you.
you were talking about the San Jose game. You know what? Starkle was coming off a great, pretty good game, right? Colorado State?
Yeah.
And all he had to do was grab the bull by the horns and take that job. And what did he do? He came out and threw 15 interceptions. And now we don't know who the quarterback is. He had his chance. And that like Tommy said, that was the pivotal point in this year. We had a chance against Ole Miss, but not really. We didn't play well enough. But Kentucky, we should have won that game. Should have won San Jose State. That's two. So we're up to four. Then you got three out of the next four that's maybe winnable if they've improved. I think that's what most fans are really hot about. They're not saying, "Hey, we're moving in the right direction. We're getting better." That's what they've got to see this Saturday. They got to see that, because everybody's thinking we're no better than we were in the first year, and if that continues.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Sayonara for Chad Morris.
Yeah, well, appreciate your phone call as always, Danny. We're up against it, man. But I agree with you, though, for sure.
Yeah, we'll see. Big weekend. Big weekend for both these head coaches.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
If you want to get on the conversation, call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline at 877-377-6963. Clay, who's going to be the starting quarterback tomorrow?
I believe it'll be Ben Hicks, and I think he's healthy, and you know, I think you'll see John Stephen Jones in relief. You'll see both of them a significant amount of time in the first half, and in the second half, it's whichever one has done the best. Hmm. Go with a hot hand, as they say, right?
That's right. So you do think that KJ Jefferson at least gets some packages or some play in here too?
Perhaps, depending on how the game goes. I think he's been prepped on some things and see how they fit in.
So, because the last time we at least got to see Nick Starkle, it was pretty atrocious, and he's just it seems like he's lost his confidence from that Colorado State game where he performed well, but ever since then he's just been a shell of himself. And I don't know really.
I think he has. Yeah. He has lost his confidence. I don't think you can say it seems like. No, he has, and that the. In listening to Joe Craddock on Monday, that was the thing that he talked about, is they're trying to rekindle that. And that's the toughest thing in athletics. When you lose your confidence, it takes something dramatic to get it back. It doesn't just actually you say, oh, I want my confidence back. Something has to happen for it to return. And, yeah, I don't think it seems like it has. It has. He's lost his confidence.
Well, my real question was is that if that's the case, does he gain it back this season? Do they even give him an opportunity to try to gain back his confidence in these final four games?
I would say that something would have to happen for him to get playing time the rest of the way. In other words, something with these other quarterbacks that would make you think, okay, now it's Starkel's chance because these guys are not. I would say that the rest of the season it would be Hicks, Jones, and Jefferson, not Starkel. That would be my guess. Then it's not going to be that, okay, he gets some chances to play and just to see if he can regain it. I think he's had his chances. That's my opinion.
So you mentioned Jones there, and I think a lot of people are wondering if they move on and give him a chance to be the starter at some point. How do you think John Stephen Jones fits into the coach's game plan at this point? He brings the running element, but what are his limitations when it comes to passing the ball, Clay?
Yeah, I think that there are certain areas of the passing game that he does just fine, and he gives you the ability to scramble in a passing situation, which the others don't, and I think that's good. Anytime that you have a lackluster offensive line as far as protection is concerned, a guy that can scramble or run the quarterback draw when it looks like a pass play gives you something that the other two do not. So I like that aspect of it, and so I think every week he's going to be more comfortable in doing some other things. I think he can throw the ball. He doesn't have the zip that the other two have in certain situations, but I'd say 90% of the passing game he can operate from. Now the problem that you have is just the number of reps in the whole package that you're able to give him during the year. You know, once the season starts, you're working two quarterbacks. It's really hard to work three. And Hicks and Starkel have gotten most of the practice time up into the last 3 weeks. And I think going forward, and that's another reason why I think perhaps Starkel is not in the picture going forward, is you're working too many quarterbacks. There's got to be somebody that you pull out, and that would be the most likely one that's performed poorly. I mean, what's he thrown? 10 interceptions? And, Hicks threw one against Auburn. But by and large, he's protected the ball. He did have, the strip. But Starkel's had those as well.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino.
It's just hard to get the repetitions for all the guys in practice.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino hotline. David is in South Arkansas. What's going on, David?
Good morning, gentlemen. Enjoy listening. Just kind of a question, comment. I heard a while ago, wait till Morris gets his players in. I think that was the way it was phrased. And Bielema, we waited till he got his players in for, 5 years and nothing happened. To me, when I hear that, wait till we get our players in, it's kind of like, okay, accept the mediocrity because I'm a coach and I have no clue what I'm doing with the players who are already there. And I don't know if this is a good example or not. Gus Malzahn went to Auburn his first year with the players, I think, won one game the year before, won, 10, 11 his first year. If you're a coach, you coach to the talent and abilities of the players you have. And personally, I just think it runs down the mentality of the guys you have on scholarship there. Well, just wait, just wait, just wait. And then those guys are thinking, we're no good. We're no good. That's what everybody said. We're no good. Anyway, thanks, guys. Good show.
Well, appreciate the phone call, David. I don't think anybody here, we were just maybe mentioning a fact that that's what used to be the old adage when it comes to coaches, is that you have to wait until they get their guys in for at least a long time. It was always a 4-year deal, maybe sometimes in 5-year, kind of like what you saw with Brett Bielema. But if you want to bring up the Gus Malzahn argument, the difference is that Gus Malzahn was the reason that a lot of those players were there at Auburn. He was part of the recruiting, especially offensively, when he was the offensive coordinator there. He left for a year, became Arkansas State's head coach, came back. They went from going 3-9 to 12-2 in the next year. But, I mean, every scenario is different. Every situation is different. The difference between Auburn and Arkansas that year and those 2 years was a lot different from what Chad Morris had to take over as well. So I just don't – I think that – the get thrown around of have to get his guys in is can sometimes be a little misconstrued. I don't know if it's as important as what it used to be, but I do believe that there's a certain element that in recruiting, though, you have to be able, especially when you're switching up styles, you have to be able to at least show the progression and show patience with what they're trying to do and they're trying to install, especially culturally. But there are some other factors going in with Chad Morris right now, though, that I think is impacting people in a negative way, where it's not about getting the guys in. It's more about you're developing and progressing as your seasons have gone on. And right now, many Razorback fans, in fact, most Razorback fans feel like this team has not improved very much since game one, and because there's a lot of still indecisiveness that they have going on there. So I think that that's what's more of people's problems with Chad Morris than anything right now.
Yeah, I think you did a nice job there, John, especially explaining the Malzahn situation. And that's, you know, so it's apples to oranges. He had recruited the skilled players to play his system, and then they went a year of not playing it. And when they came back, it was, you know, the players were ready for it, knew it, embraced it. So my take on the Chad Morris deal, number one, the quarterback situation, and that's where he's supposed to be strong in developing quarterbacks, and we just haven't seen that. In fact, it's been musical chairs. And, counting Connor Nolan, it's been, 5-6, could be the seventh this week with K.J. Jefferson. And, there's, two that are three out of the program from last year. And, Co Kelly, Ty Story, and Connor Nolan are all gone. So that's the frustrating part, is that you haven't seen any consistency develop at quarterback, which is, one of his strengths. But the bottom line, when you say he's got to get his players in, someone said he didn't have the right offensive line to run his system. This is my take on the offensive line. You didn't have an offensive line to run any system. I mean, that line wasn't capable of running the Bielema system, not talented enough there, not enough size, not enough bulk, not enough speed to run the Chad Morris system. And that's the problem I wrote something that'll be in the paper tomorrow, and it always comes back to the offensive line. When you struggle at quarterback, it's probably going to be because of the offensive line. Mm-hmm. You can't run basic plays and get 3 yards with this offensive line. And if you can't do that, then you come down to, we've got to trick them and scheme them on every play. Well, it's just not possible, and it's just not probable. And, I keep having people tell me, what do you think about the scheme? I said, scheme's fine. I have no problem with anything that they're doing offensively or defensively. They need to do it better with better players.
Yeah. Well, as far as offensive line, wouldn't it be easier, Clay, to convert linemen to a Chad Morris system versus a Brett Bielema system? And I come at it from this angle. What did most of these players do in their high school systems? I mean, most high schools across Texas, across Arkansas, across the recruiting grounds that Arkansas is working are running some variation of spread. Very few teams are running a run-oriented power offense like Bielema wanted to run, a pro-style offense. It would be harder to convert linemen for that than it would be to what Morris is trying to do. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. And if you could run that and run it well, that probably works out. But what I see them is when especially with Starkle and Hicks, when they're trying to run the RPO that does not feature any running plays by the quarterbacks. In other words, they're running RPO. The quarterback's just not keeping it. And that was the difference in what I saw, is the quarterback made the right reads. And a lot of them, John Stephen Jones had himself called his own number because that's what Alabama was forcing him to do. And he was glad to do that. When that doesn't work, then you're in drop back passing. And I have to admit that they've been in more drop back passing with these two quarterbacks, Starkle and Hicks. They're running drop back passing. Their tackles have not been able to protect. And you can go back and you can circle, okay, there's the breakdown. It happens about 4 or 5 times a game where the tackle, and that is, it wouldn't matter what system or what they were doing, you've got to be able to protect some. When it comes down to 3rd and 8, they know you're passing. You're not running an RPO. You're running a drop back passing play. Yeah. And that they're not equipped to do. and it wouldn't matter what offense they were running.
Football Friday brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC, exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith. They've got over 400 vehicles in stock, and they've got over 200 pre-owns in stock right now, many with payments around $250 or less per month. So if you're looking for the perfect payment vehicle, they have a great selection of those at Harry Robinson Buick GMC, and they always give you more for your trade. Exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith. That's Harry Robinson Buick GMC, and online at harryrobinson.com.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Craig is in Deer, Arkansas. What's going on, Craig?
Morning, fellas.
Morning.
Hope y'all are doing well. Hey, a little anecdote in here. My son played college ball at Penn State, but he had the privilege of playing 3 years in Charlotte for Mike Shildt. It's a crazy world that Shildt's now the manager at the Cardinals. But Shildt shared something with me one time. We were talking baseball. They'd done a study of minor league players versus major league players. And they had determined that the major difference between the AAA and the big league guys was not tied to talent. Now, sometimes it was. There's 5'2 guys out there. I know that. But generally, the difference, the minor league guy wasn't sure if he belonged in the big leagues, and the big league guy was positive that's where he was supposed to be. And I thought that was intriguing. You know, I started to call Shildt and ask if he believes that's where he's supposed to be now. Anyhow, but relative to looking at Arkansas, you know, I tell you I'm a Tennessee fan last week, and I look at both programs, and I don't know if Pruitt's a keeper or not. I still don't know, but I will say this. The guy's got 3 5-star offensive linemen. Pruitt's in a place where he has no excuse not to win. I look at Chad Morris, and I just called preseason, said this, there's no way he can win. And you can look at next year. You tell me where he's going to get an offensive line next year. And then, okay, year after next, he's got his guys in. At best, they're going to be freshmen because there ain't none coming in next year. So 2 years from now, if he goes out and gets 3 5-stars, 2 years from now, they're freshmen. And we keep hearing we're too young. Man, there's no way this guy can turn this thing around. He's not gone and recruited in the trenches. He went and got all this skill talent. He ran his mouth on that jet. I watched the interview last night. Yeah, we're going to be explosive. We're going to get in the left lane, hammer down. Bull crap, man. He's in over his head. I don't think he thinks he belongs. He's overwhelmed. Just look at him. It's the same old gibberish, same old talk. It's some of it's coach speak, I know. But I look at the difference in the two programs. I look at Pruitt and say, he doesn't have an excuse not to win. With that line, he better develop that thing and learn how to play. And they have made remarkable progress this year. I still don't know that he's the guy, but they've made progress. I look at Morris. I don't know how in the world he's ever going to win if he doesn't get somebody between the trenches. And he doesn't have time now. He's blown 2 years, and he hadn't gotten linemen. So when's he going to get them and have the time to stick around and make it work? So that's my take. Y'all have a good day.
Yeah, Craig, I got a question. Yeah, and his he's hanging up. But so he said he didn't recruit linemen last year. There were 9 defensive linemen, 6 offensive linemen. That's 15. That's more than half of his class. Now, I don't always expect to see linemen show up, you know, in the first year. But they have. You've got 2 starters on the offensive line. Cunningham's playing left tackle now. He started 7 games or 6 games. This will be his 7th. Ricky Stromberg is the right guard. He also has played some left guard. This will be his 8th start out of 9 games. So you've got 2 starters now playing, and both of those guys have graded out pretty well. And that's not where your problems are coming. And I say Latham, Limmer, Rathke are all hits. They think they will be factors. I think Noah Gatlin was a hit. Unfortunately, he had an ACL. We'll see where he is 9 months from now. But I think that you see development coming on the offensive line. You know, in practice that you see it, and in flashes at those two positions of the game. So that is, they're not 5 stars, and some of them aren't 4 stars. I mean, Cunningham was considered elite when they beat Oklahoma for him. So I think you'd have to say he was highly regarded when, you know, Texas, Oklahoma, everybody, you know, the Big 12 was recruiting him as well. defensive linemen. You've got four true freshmen playing at defensive end. I think you'll see Isaiah Nichols, as he's a second-year freshman. He's playing a lot of football, probably play more this week. I think Tareen Carter, Enoch Jackson, there's some more of those defensive tackles that are probably going to play in the next four games that will still get red shirts. You don't see linemen jump out there as much as first-year players in the SEC. Yeah, five-star at Alabama, but that's a different deal. I think that his line recruiting is better than some people are rating it right now. And it's just, it takes a long time for offensive linemen and defensive linemen to show up as being ready in the SEC. I mean, Mateo Soli is, everybody put him down as a four-star, some as a five-star. And he played with a broken hand for the first half of the season, and I think you'll see him finish up pretty strong, probably pick up another 20 or 30 pounds and be an elite player before he's done. I think Colin Clay, Eric Gregory, there's some others there, defensive end, that Steve Caldwell really likes. And when Steve Caldwell says you're a good player, you probably are a good player.
Let's go ahead and get into your Hog Update here on The Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the national championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on The Morning Rush.
All right, it is time for your Hog Update, presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
It is a Carhartt kind of morning out there. You need Carhartt coats and jackets and insulated bibs and vests and everything to stay warm on the work site this morning. And they can take care of everything for the working man and working woman at Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear. If you need Carhartt from head to toe, they've got it. Work boots, work accessories, everything Carhartt is there. And with modern gun season coming up, deer season 1 week away, you need everything camo and everything firearms and ammo, and they've got everything you need for hunting season, which starts next weekend. Find it all at Ozark Sportsman Supply. Why go anywhere else? It's all under one roof. Ozark Sportsman Supply, Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear. Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
So for your Hog Update, Razorback Soccer officially wins the SEC regular season title last night with a victory over Tennessee by a final score of 3-1, and it is their first SEC title in program history. It's amazing. Then they're ranked sixth in the country. This has been a great season for them, and it certainly seems like they're building something special there with Razorback Soccer. So, hey, anytime you win the SEC, no matter what the sport is, you know it's going to be a competitive league even in the smaller sports. Well, so,
yeah, tell me what sport that the SEC is not nationally competitive in. And there was a time where men's basketball had Kentucky and not much else, but they've rebuilt it. Clay, is there a sport that the SEC is really just not even on the national scene in any of the sports?
No, the amount of money that's available in these athletic departments because of the SEC networks allows them to compete on a national level in every sport. Yeah. I would say, without question, if you're winning the league in something in the SEC, you're going against the best. And the program that you can say is the gold standard for women's soccer is North Carolina, and they beat them 2-0, which is unheard of. They rarely have been behind by two goals in the last 30 years, much less lost by two goals. 2-0 to beat North Carolina, that's all I needed to see. And this is a team that's going to probably host for the first three rounds of the NCAA tournament and could go into the Final Four if they win those three games at home is a favorite. And I'll tell you, what's unique about this team and makes them special is that they've got about five goal scorers. Most teams, elite teams, might have one, maybe two, but they've got five that could score, and it makes it really tough on the defense not knowing where the offense is coming from. And they play high pressure. I would compare them to the Chile men's national team with the way they play high pressure. I mean, they come after you, and they're deep. And Kobe Hale, I went out to watch a practice about 4 or 5 years ago. I was waiting on an interview, and I got there late in the day and was told they just restarted practice. I was like, they did what? And so I waited a little bit, and SID came over, and he says, you might want to go home. They just restarted practice again. And this is a coach that Wilson Matthews would just wrap up and hug. He coaches effort. And if he doesn't get it, then he'll restart practice. And eventually the players get the message, and they'll do it right. Kobe Hale is a fantastic coach.
Well, I mean, it just goes to prove once again, though, that you know Arkansas can be competitive in pretty much any sport. Doesn't matter really what it is, well, they can be competitive.
I guess my point is...
Yeah, he's recruited. There's three players that are from the national pool. North Carolina, Anson Durant was talking to Matt Jones before the Arkansas game, said he really recruited Parker Goins hard, and she's been in the national pool a couple of times. She's had an ACL injury that set her back, but she's in full motion right now. I mean, it's but yeah, if you haven't watched them on TV and you see them on ESPN3 almost every game zone, or you want to plan something for a special, take your kids that maybe are interested in soccer, that was their last home soccer game, but they're going to play in the SEC tournament, and then it'll be a series of home games in the NCAA tournament. And it ought to be something really special to watch.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
The give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. It is Friday, and around this time every Friday during football season, we have our Fence Man Friday picks, which we have Henry in the house, and we're going to be able to really try to make this week a better one. Henry, last week was not a good one for you, man. It was not a good one for you.
But, no.
But that's okay. That's okay. There's plenty of weeks left.
Got a lot of football in front of us.
A lot of football, a lot of great games, a lot of different things to get into, so let's go ahead and jump right into the Fence Man Friday picks.
Fenceman Friday football picks. Call the Fenceman for all kinds of fences, controlled access, and custom iron projects. 479-782-3936. The Fenceman. We ain't afraid of no work.
All right, so just to give a little score update, so there was some ground gained last week. At least me and Clay are tied up now. It's officially 20-20 there. Tommy, you are set at 19.
All right.
And Henry, you're 14, man. So you got a lot of ground to catch up on.
Henry's getting ready to have a big week.
Yeah, so that's the thing is you could take a lot of risks, but you may have to, and that's the best way to catch up on it. So it's getting really hot and heavy here on Fenceman Friday Picks. So let's go ahead and jump right into this week's picks. And we'll start with a non-conference game, actually a non-Power 5 game, because these two teams is where College Game Day is going to be. Two ranked opponents, or at least two really good opponents in Memphis and SMU. Now, SMU's undefeated. A lot of connections here because people thought about Norvell and the Arkansas connection there. And, of course, SMU being the former place of Chad Morris. They're sitting undefeated. But we'll start with this game. Memphis is favored by 5.5 points. Henry, who do you got?
I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to go with Memphis.
Going to go with Memphis. All right. Going to go with Memphis playing it safe. Tommy?
Seems like the undefeated team. Appalachian State lost last night. Baylor had a tough time but won against West Virginia last night. Are those, you know, these undefeated teams got a lot of pressure on them right now. I think there's, what, 7 left after last night? So
I'm trusting you on it.
I think that's right. So SMU seems to have the magic right now. I'm going to go with SMU.
Going to go with SMU.
And they're getting points.
So. All right. That's right. All right. Clay, who are you going with?
So where is the game at?
The game's in Memphis.
Yep.
I go with Memphis.
Going to go with Memphis. All right. Fair enough. And Tommy, I'm kind of with you on SMU. There's just something about it. I think this is their year. I think that the fact that they are not favored in this game is also going to be helpful. I'm not saying they'll win, but I think it's going to be a close game no matter what, maybe a field goal. So go ahead and give me SMU as well. All right, the big game in the SEC and really the best game in college football as far as the rankings go, Georgia and Florida. I'm going to continue to call it the world's largest outdoor cocktail party because, dadgummit, that's what that is. So Georgia in this game, though, favored by 6 points. It's a top 10 matchup. I'll go ahead and kick it off since I went last on this last one. I think that Georgia's going to win this one. I think after the South Carolina loss, I think that that's going to be motivating them to pretty much win out the rest of the way. And because essentially this game is for the SEC East Division title, essentially. So give me Georgia. They win by at least a touchdown in this game, going with the Bulldogs. Clay?
I go with Georgia as well. I think they're the better team and more talented at quarterback.
All right. Fair enough. Tommy?
I probably think, well, I think Georgia will win. I need to go Florida for strategy in our pick, so give me Florida on the strategy angle of trying to gain ground on YouTube.
Okay, so it's not that you believe it, it's just no, what you just, want to.
Here's an opening. You two have went Georgia.
Okay.
I'm going to take the risk of taking Florida here to gain some ground.
Not a bad risk. Henry, who do you got?
I'm going to go with Tommy.
Okay, you're going to go with Tommy. All right, see, this is the way it needs to be. There needs to be two and two on each side, and that's what we're doing right here. So, perfect. All right, you're going to go with the Gators. All right, and finally, Arkansas, Mississippi State this weekend. Mississippi State favored at 7.5. It opened up at 7, moved up to 6.5, and now it's bounced back over to 7.5 as of this morning. So, I'll go ahead and have Henry kick us off here. Henry, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Mississippi State favorite 7.5. Who are you going with?
I'm going to Mississippi State.
Going to go Mississippi State. Hey, listen, there's not going to be any judging on that pick right there, my man. No judging there. Tommy?
Until proven otherwise, give me Mississippi State. It's just a trust factor. They haven't played well on the road. They're 1-6 under Moorhead in road games. But Arkansas hadn't proven anything either.
That's a good point.
7.5 points, I'll give those away.
All right. Clay?
I'll go with Arkansas.
Okay.
I think that's enough points, and it's going to be a low-scoring game, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going with Clay as well. I don't think Arkansas is going to win, but listen, Arkansas's lost a few close games this year, a few of them by 4 points. I think Arkansas is still going to lose the game, but I do believe that they're going to be within at least a touchdown. So I'm going to go with Arkansas as well. So there you go. Across the board, going to be 2-2-2-2. So I like this. All right.
A chance here.
And the final.
Another reason with Mississippi State, I knew you two would go with the Hogs.
There you go. So here's the final bonus point, folks. Now, this one's going to be a little tricky, but I think we can manage it as long as we do it the right way. How many snaps does KJ Jefferson play in this game? And this is going to be, of course, you can't bust, you can't go over or anything like that. So we'll mix it up a little bit. Clay, how many snaps does KJ Jefferson play in this game?
I'm going to say 4.
4 snaps. All right. Henry?
I'm going to go 6.
6. Okay, 6 snaps here. All right. Tommy?
I know if I go 1, you're going to go 2.
Well, I mean, listen, he could. We don't know. He could play a lot. He could play a little. This is a complete and total crapshoot. So you can go higher than 6 if you think he's going to play more than 6 snaps.
Well, this is strategy here.
That's right.
Point.
It's all about strategy.
So I got to figure out which way you're going to go.
Okay.
So if I go 1, are you going to go 7?
Well, I promise you, I won't go 2.
All right, then I'm going to go 1.
Okay, you're going to go with 1. All right, and I'm going to go with 8.
Okay,
I'm going to go with 8. I think that we're going to see him a lot more in this game. Give me 8 snaps for KJ Jefferson in this game. So we all good with it?
Tell me the picks again. What do we got?
All right. So just to recap real quick, Memphis and SMU, Henry and Clay have Memphis. Me and Tommy have SMU. Georgia and Florida. Me and Clay have Georgia. Tommy and Henry have Florida. And then Mississippi State and Arkansas. Henry and Tommy have Mississippi State. Me and Clay have Arkansas. And then how many snaps does KJ Jefferson play? Clay, you have 4. Henry, you have 6. Tommy, you have 1. I have 8. Does that all sound good? Sound right?
Sound good to me.
All right, let's
go. So if he picks 0, nobody wins a point. I mean, if he doesn't play.
Correct. Yeah. If he does not play a single snap, then nobody wins the point. That's right.
Yep.
All right. So there you have it. Lock it in, boys. There we have it.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay.
Big week. Big month. Big game.
A lot of football left.
Yeah. Lots of weeks, a lot of football. And we haven't gotten to rivalry week. Yeah. We may have to have a lot of bonus points for that one.
I think we need to have a 5-point game coming up and put Henry right there where he can.
That's what I need.
Yeah, that's maybe what we do. Yeah.
He's the only one that gets to pick it, and he can either get 5 or stay at 0.
So, Henry, you service Northwest Arkansas, the River Valley, all up and down I-40, 782-3936. I know when you leave here, you're headed to Northwest Arkansas for to handle a fence job. People can call you wherever they're listening this morning. The Fence Man does it.
Absolutely. We'll do anything you ask.
All right. So whether it's vinyl fencing, wood privacy fencing, commercial chain link, custom wrought iron gates, powered gates, anything involving a fence, even fence repairs, the Fence Man does it. 479-782-3936. Henry, we will see you next Friday.
All right. Sounds great.
Stay warm out there.
All right.
The Fence Man, 479-782-3936.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, let's go ahead and have Matty T give you your Morning Rush update.
The Razorback football team is currently sitting at a 7.5 point.
There you go.
7.5 point dogs to Mississippi State this Saturday. If the Hogs lose tomorrow, it will be the third straight season that they've lost every SEC home game on the schedule.
Nice.
Well, so what do we count Little Rock?
It's not a home game.
Ooh.
It's not a home game.
I think they disagree with you.
I know they do, but it's not. It's not a home game. Go ahead, Maddie.
Well, John, you're wrong. Well, you're wrong, John.
It's not a home game. You can't host official visits. Yeah, it's not on your campus. It's not a home game.
They'll wear their home uniforms. It will count as a home game with the SEC.
On that case, Arlington's a home game as well. Go ahead, Matty T.
Razorback soccer officially won the SEC regular season title last night with a win over Tennessee 3-1. It's the first SEC title in program history, and they're currently ranked 6th in the country, the University of Arkansas. You're home for soccer.
At least they're home for something.
Not football.
Not football.
And finally, the NBA has banned both Joel Embiid and Karl Anthony Towns for 2 games after their physical altercation in a game a few nights ago. But the NBA is apparently totally fine with Ben Simmons putting Karl Anthony Towns in a chokehold on the floor because he was, quote, being a peacemaker. Nothing says peace like a good old-fashioned chokehold.
Sounds like something that my two kids are fighting.
Yeah.
That sounds like an excuse that they would have.
Yeah, it's like, Dad, I was just trying to be peacemaker.
Just trying to keep the peace.
Just trying to keep the peace by doing a chokehold, apparently.
Just choking my sister. Just keeping the peace.
Good grief. Yeah, that's the NBA for you.
Tommy, that means anytime I want to, I can take John down and put him in a chokehold, and you can just say, just keep that peace there.
Just Clay being a peacemaker.
He's just being the peacemaker of the group. There you go.
Be sure to head to hitthatline.com for all fantastic Morning Rush content and great Razorback coverage with articles, videos, podcasts, and more. Only available at hitthatline.com.
All right, so only our fantastic stuff is up there? Is that it?
We leave the crap, back.
Yeah, we don't post the crap. Yeah, we don't post the crap.
Of course,
we
keep that for myself.
Hey, yeah, we post everything because it's all always great. It's always great here on the Morning Rush. But appreciate the Morning Rush update there, Maddie T. If you want to get on the conversation, call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline at 877-377-6963. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Brian is in Jonesboro. He's been patiently waiting. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, not much. Hey, I just really kind of want to bring some objectivity to this. Hey, Chad Morris is not Nick Saban. Let's just, everybody needs to step back a little bit. He's the guy we have, and one problem we have is that, yeah, he's not a superstar coach, but the problem is, what did he take over? And let me ask you this. What are we going to do if we were to fire him this year? The next coach takes over, and he's still got to fix this offensive line. And so what offense are you going to run behind this offensive line? And let me ask you, would you want to play quarterback behind this offensive line? And here's the other thing to think about. Does anybody remember how Austin Allen just got bludgeoned his last year? And let me tell you something. This offensive line has taken, basically, you take the last year that Pittman was here. Pittman really didn't do that good of a job recruiting his last year. Does anybody remember some of that last signing class? And how many of those guys actually played? I'll give you a name. Reeve Keller, the guy from Hawaii, he was one of the stellar people in that last class, if I remember right. And we've got like 3 guys in that class that never even saw the field. And then what happens is, obviously the O-line was bad before Chad got here, okay? Then what happened was before last season, right before that first couple weeks before the first game, if you remember right, we had 4 players retire or go through a medical red shirt where they were, a medical hardship case. 3 of them were medical hardships, and then 1 guy retired, and that would have been the center. Can't remember his name. But anyway, so last season, we started the season upside down on the offensive line. I wouldn't wish that on any coach, okay? That's hell right there. Then we go through that whole season, and we're dealing with, even Bielema was converting defensive tackles to offensive line. Look at Froholt, okay? Then we've got Capps converted to defensive line, to offensive line. We've got, Jackson hasn't been 100% maybe since his freshman year. Like I said, Capps is a converted defensive tackle there at left guard. Clary, he's a natural guard. He's playing center for the first time. He never played that in high school. Then right guard, Stromberg is a true freshman. And the guys that Anderson recruited couldn't beat out a true freshman. Right tackle, Wagner isn't performing. Okay? And who recruited Wagner other than us? Start looking at that. So then, before we even get to this season, we lost our best offensive lineman, Gatlin. So what offense do you run behind this offensive line? And I'm not convinced that Starkle is a terrible quarterback. I think that you have to look at quarterbacks and look at what kind of offensive lines they've been accustomed to being behind and how much time they've had to do their reads. And my concern is that it's kind of like a lot of the quarterbacks that played at Alabama. When they go to the NFL, they can't succeed very well because they're used to having the best players all around them way better than the competition that they're playing against. Mm-hmm. And they don't have the time to go through their comfortable sit in the recliner and pick out a receiver kind of atmosphere they had in college at Bama with the best team money can buy. And we've got the problem. We've got the opposite end of the spectrum. We've got a quarterback sitting back there that doesn't have any time to go through his reads. And sometimes when they do go through a progression, yeah, they may go through progressions, but how much pressure are they under? So if Starkle actually had an offensive line next year, would he be pretty good?
Well, I think that most quarterbacks in any situation, appreciate the phone call, Brian, that, you know, they're only as good as the offensive line that's in front of them. I mean, you know, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time, in my opinion, but what has he had? It's been pretty consistent. He's always had a very solid offensive line up front that's been able to protect him.
He hadn't always had the greatest players around him either.
No, but I'm saying that as long as you have a strong offensive line in front of you, though, it's always going to make you as a quarterback better because you have more time for your progression. You have more time to sit back and throw. It's going to be
just
able
more
to
comfortable.
Yeah, and I mean that's just the fact of the matter, and that's obviously been an element in this whole situation with this offense that they have been unable to take those next steps because the offensive line just has not been there.
Clay, this isn't breaking news. I mean, this is something we've been talking about for weeks: is the offensive line and how the root of all the problems comes back to line play both sides of the ball.
Yeah, Reeve Kohler was actually in Bielema's first class, so that was he was in the class with Denver Kirkland and I guess the year before Ragnow. Neither here nor there, I can remember sitting with Pittman during the open date of his last year at Arkansas in. I like during open day to look at next year, and it's the coaches are always thinking about next year. I mean, you better have, you know, things lined out. For instance, they're redshirting Chase Hayden. They're also redshirting Traylon Smith, transfer from Arizona State. Those will be, you know, your two main running backs next year. I suspect Boyd will go to the NFL, and Whaley is a senior. But back to the Sam Pittman deal, I was like, okay, you're losing this guy, this guy, this guy. Who are going to be your offensive linemen? And he just threw his hands out. I mean, it's just me and him in the room. Everybody else had gone. And he says, Clay, I really don't know. He says, I don't know how we're going to line up next year and be able to run what we're running right now. We don't have the size, the strength, you know, certainly don't have the experience, and I'm not sure which one of those guys is ready to play. Well, boys, he nailed it. And, you know, it's like 6 weeks later, he bailed. And if you don't think that's part of the reason, then you probably don't understand, you know, offensive line coaches. And if you, when you're out of talent, that's the time to hit the door. And sometimes they hit the door the year before that things kind of, you know, but obviously he got a great job in Georgia. So, you can't second guess that.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Robert is in Fort Smith. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, John, guys, I just wanted to have fun with y'all's home game thing. When you buy your season tickets, they're not included in your package. You have to buy extra ticket for that game. You know?
Wait, you talking about the Little Rock game?
Yeah, you have to buy an extra ticket. It's not put in your season ticket. So, I mean, you call it an Arkansas home game in the state of Arkansas, but not. Because why wouldn't it be added into your – and it never has been. So, you know. So, well, that's just what I wanted to do.
Well, I appreciate it, Robert. I want to start the great stadium debate once again. I was more or less just having fun with those people who consider Little Rock a home game. And, I mean, I understand it. It's just more me trying to troll people here early in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, and you hit a nerve with me. I mean, I grew up across the street from the stadium, and I can remember when they played four games there, and there were people all across the state. It's like, they don't put the Fayetteville games in our season package. Yeah. You know, they're playing two up there, they're playing four down here. And so, yeah, it's flipped around.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it might go away here pretty soon. We might be, you know, heading down the stretch run of Little Rock games.
Yeah. Because, see, I'm the opposite, Clay, where I grew up in Fayetteville, you know, and that's kind of what I got used to is just, and I remember as a kid.
Well, you have yet to grow up, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, that was coming.
Yeah, well, okay, I was raised in Fayetteville. We'll go on with
well,
that.
Well, we're still raising you,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, well, hopefully maybe one day when I turn 45, I'm going to get there.
Clay, he did wear a toga to work yesterday. I mean,
He did. Yeah. I'm proud of him. Yeah. Yeah, it was warm. Yeah, hopefully you had something on underneath it because it was a cold day. Yeah, and I am excited that you've got a young lady that's teaching you what to do with a deer, right?
Yeah, well, I learned my lesson from that whole thing. So, yeah,
I've done
some rigorous research on it for sure.
Hey, I think that most people would have been exactly the same as you. They're like, okay, there's the deer. What do I do next? You know, I've hit it. You know, we need to put it out of its misery and – you know, do a humane thing, but they don't have a gun, right?
That's right. That's right. So
I don't carry. I don't conceal and carry. I don't have a gun in my truck unless I'm going hunting. So
yeah, well, that's the thing. It just shows me that I got to be prepared for every situation. To knock on wood, that I don't have to worry about any sort of deer being hit on my truck. I got lucky once. I doubt I get lucky twice where I have no damage to my truck after hitting a deer. That's for sure. All right, let's hop into your SEC update here on the Morning Rush.
Somebody said we've got SEC bias. Deal with it. They're the best.
In the SEC, it just means more.
I know one thing. The SEC just got a little tougher.
This is your SEC update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it is time for your SEC update presented by Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear.
Tell you what, we're getting some of these cold starts to the day. You better have a good coat. You need a Carhartt coat, Carhartt jacket, those insulated bibs and vest, and all the Carhartt work accessories and work boots. You can find them all at Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear. For working men and working women, this is your paradise. Stay warm on the work site. You can do it at the Ozark. So everything Carhartt is there. Also with hunting season and modern gun season for deer season just a week away, everything you need for hunting is there. Firearms, ammo. You can even, you know, sight in your rifle in their 15-lane awesome indoor gun range. It's the best in the state, the best you'll find anywhere, and it'll take your target practice to the next level or sighting in your gun to the next level in their temperature-controlled indoor range. Why go anywhere else? It's all at the Ozarks. Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
For your SEC update, I can give you games and breakdowns and all the great matchups, but you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to have something more fun here on the SEC update. You know, there was a list that was put out by Brett McMurphy of all of the college football coaches in the SEC, plus Commissioner Greg Sankey, and their favorite musical artist throughout the conference. And I want to get your reaction, guys, on who you'd actually wouldn't mind hanging out with or who you wouldn't want to hang out with based solely on who their favorite musical artist is. All right? You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll start with Commissioner Greg Sankey. U2.
Okay.
You U2 guy, Tommy?
I'm not a U2 guy, but no problem with
no
U2.
No problem with U2. Yeah. Okay, that's fair. It's fair. But that's actually wasn't too surprising for me for Greg Sankey. But, you know, college football coaches are a little different because Nick Saban in Alabama, his favorite is the Eagles.
I can see that.
Yeah, I can see that too. A little Hotel California going along with that as well. Chad Morris, I think you'll appreciate this, Tommy. Is George Strait.
Not a Texas guy, not a surprise at all.
Yeah, but...
I knew that.
Yeah,
yep.
He's a big George Strait.
So, yeah, me too. I've actually seen George Strait 3 times in concert and would go again if I could figure out how not to spend $400.
Yeah, I hear he's expensive to go and see, but according to Tommy, though, he's worth it.
But he's worth it.
He's worth it, yeah.
He sings about 40 songs.
And they're all number ones.
Yeah, get your money's worth out of that.
Yeah, we went through that, didn't I?
Yeah. Gus Malzahn in Auburn, the Cars. I'm a little surprised by that.
Be something the Cars weird. Is. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, he's from Arkansas, though, so it's not like he's Southern, but just the Cars of all artists to choose from. All right. Dan Mullen also has U2. I'm about U2. I was never a big U2 guy. I never understood the draw about U2, but Dan Mullen's a U2 guy.
Is U2 A Beautiful Day?
Yes.
Is that one of theirs?
Yeah, that's like the only song I know.
I can see that. Yeah. It's not bad.
Yeah. I don't know, Matty T. I don't know if you're a U2 fan or not, because you're kind of looking
at
me.
I'm not a big fan, but they've got a lot of familiar songs.
Okay, yeah, I know they have some hits. I've just personally
really
I'm
big
not,
in the 80s.
Yeah, know. Yeah, which is about where these coaches right. grew up in. Mark Stoops is I'll start with Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart is Luke Bryan. I'm done with Kirby Smart. Come on, your favorite. I'm not nothing against Luke Bryan, but your favorite is Luke Bryan.
Being in Georgia,
well,
you think it'd be
now, Luke Bryan is a Georgia guy, so I understand a little bit why he would pick him. He grew up in Georgia, is a Georgia fan, but
you could go Zach Brown band too. You know,
mm-hmm.
aren't they Georgia guys?
Well, I would.
Yeah, Brown's a lot better than Luke Bryan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
Luke Bryan is just a. You know, he just sings to the chicks. That's all he does.
A very, very poppy country. Yeah. But, hey, if it works out for him, I'm not going to hate on him for it.
That isn't a totally bad game plan.
No, it's not. It's not. It's obviously working out very well for him. Mark Stoops says Toby Keith.
Can't go wrong there.
Can't go wrong with Toby Keith. Eddie O, Ed Orgeron.
Oh, this got to be something like Xylophone Band or something. Down in the bayou.
No, it's actually, but it is making sense.
Buckwheat Zydeco.
Yeah. Credence Clearwater Revival, right, CCR.
That makes sense.
Nothing's crazy about that.
It goes back to my days. Yeah. It goes back to the 70s. Like me some CCR.
We have some CCR
I had an
8-track
CCR.
We have some CCR here on the Morning Rush.
Do you know what an 8-track player is, John?
Yeah, it was kind of like a cassette player, but fatter, and you had to like stick it in, and it was like something you could just pull out instead of having to hit the eject button. Yeah. Something to that extent. Right,
you never worked in a radio station with cartridges.
Yeah, there was no eject button in those. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I the only thing I ever knew of that an 8-track was my grandmother's old 1972 Mustang convertible. That's all I ever knew about it.
They were so big that you couldn't have very many 8-tracks. I had like the Jackson 5, Johnny Cash, Three Dog Night, and I might have had. And I had CCR. That's all I had.
I remember
that was enough.
Riding in a car with my cousin when I was a kid from Plainview, Texas to Fort Smith, Arkansas, and it was an 8-track is in the 80s. And he had a Meatloaf 8-track. I think he wore the thing out.
A Meatloaf 8-track.
Yeah, I think we listened to that thing till it broke.
If you hit a bump, though, wouldn't it like flip to the side B or whatever?
No, that's like an LP.
Oh, yeah. No, but didn't they have like. They didn't have 2 tracks.
No, they didn't do that. No. They were pretty
not like a tape.
Pretty solid.
No. Yeah. Well, the only tape I knew is my sister.
Oh, they were tapes.
My sister had the Top Gun soundtrack, and that was what I grew up with on the tape deck side of things. So that's about the extent of my knowledge there. Joe Moorhead, Notorious B.I.G.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. Didn't we? Or was that earlier today?
It was yesterday.
Yesterday we talked about that.
Some
he's repping the West Side.
Some of his Pennsylvania roots.
So. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, whatever works. East side on that. Okay. Barry Odom also has George Strait. Hey, what's up, Clay?
Yep. I was going to say there's a poster on our message board. He goes by Notorious P.I.G.
Oh, okay. So the play on words there. That works.
Like that. Yeah,
very much so. Matt Luke says Jason Aldean. I'm done with Matt Luke.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of Jason Aldean. Will Muschamp says Darius Rucker. Makes sense.
Yep.
Because the whole South
from
Carolina connection.
From Hootie
and the Blowfish. That's right. Jeremy Pruitt says Kenny Chesney.
Good one.
Yeah, another good one. Jimbo Fisher also says George Strait. Texas Ties, as you were talking about, Tommy. And then Derek Mason, Marvin Gaye. I don't have a problem with Marvin Gaye. It's not bad.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Derek Mason, obviously in Nashville.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a...
Plethora
of artists at his doorstep, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes something... out of the country realm.
That's right. Well, by the way, Dwight in Fort Smith texted into the Cherokee Casino hotline, says, who are y'all's favorite bands, especially Tommy and Clay? Because he probably doesn't get it, because apparently doesn't give a rip about mine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, George Strait's one of my all-time favorites. Zach Brown Band, and my ultimate favorite artist is probably James Taylor. So,
fair enough. Clay?
Those are my three.
Yeah, I mean, I just opened up my iPhone and went to my music, to what I've downloaded, and what you buy would tell you what's your favorite. And I've got 115 George Strait songs.
Wow.
I've got 48 Adele songs. I've got 53 Sinatra songs. Some of my newer downloads, I've got 3 Cody Johnson albums. Let's see. That would be I've got quite a bit of Joe Nichols and Justin Moore, who would be Arkansas guys. Got some Johnny Cash.
Arkansas
Ring of Fire in 2 versions. So I like that.
Yeah, and again, not apparently that Dwight cares, but big Justin Timberlake guy, obviously. I like old school Kanye West.
He didn't ask. He didn't want to know.
No, he said especially y'all. He didn't say he didn't want. He just said especially he wanted to know y'all. So
I'm interested.
Yeah, thank you, Clay. I like Justin Timberlake. He's my first and foremost and probably my second most and third most. But then I like some old school Kanye West as well. I like some old school Eminem as well if I was going into more to the rap music. But there
call
are,
that music.
But that's true. That's true. And I'm if I'm looking at bands, my all-time favorite band, at least the music that I love the most, Rage Against the Machine.
My wife loves Rage.
Rage. Well, see, that's kind of your mantra, right?
Yeah.
You're gonna rage against the machine.
That's right. I'm a little bit of rap and a little bit of hard rock mixed into the end of it. So
anti-establishment.
And apparently I'm anti-establishment.
Guys, you know, I just got back from a road trip to Alabama, which, you know, is 8 or 9 hours on the road. My photographer, Ben Goff, I ran the radio had my Bluetooth and played my music. And then finally, a little bit late in the day, coming home Sunday, he says, Do I get a shot at this? I was like, all right. He plays Swedish death metal. That's his stuff. Oh, it was dark. Yeah, dark and loud. And he looked over at me. I said, hey, I've got some metal on mine. And so I played Metallica Sandman. And he says, that's entry-level stuff.
Hey, well, at least you got a little bit of it, though. At least you got a little bit of it.
So. Well, we didn't make it very far in the Swedish death metal. No. I don't know if I said that right or not, but it is some bizarre stuff.
Yeah. Mm. No, that certainly works for you. So there you have it. Not that, again, apparently Dwight is the only one that cared about it, but there's our favorite artist here on the Morning Run.
And all the coaches' artists. So.
That's right.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.